Good morning, New Life Fellowship.
Good morning.
Oh, how's everyone doing today? Are you happy that you're here in the house of the Lord? This is going to be, I just love the songs that we have sung this morning. I love the way that our worship team leads us into the Lord's presence in such a wonderful way. Can we give it up to our praise team and just say thanks to them for what they do? We appreciate that so much. Those of you that are watching online, we give you a welcome to New Life Fellowship today as well. And we would like to just say thanks to each one of you for your continued giving in your tithe, your offering, and your mission support. We really do appreciate that so very much. We have some black boxes in the back of the auditorium. If you'd like to place your giving envelope in there, you may do that. And we just commend you for being givers unto the Lord. Well, we started a new series last Sunday morning, Solid Rock. Everybody say Solid Rock. And we're talking about the Beatitudes that Jesus preached, this wonderful message. And it is a message that transcends the ages, and it just keeps going through all of our hearts. It means something to every one of us. And I'm sure there's different parts of the sermon that hits every one of us at different times in different ways. We are trying to do a little memorization here, and so I would like to ask, how many of you did your memorization this week? I'm not looking up at anybody's hands to see the many hands that are not raised right now, but verse 3, let's say it together. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, now let's try and do that one more time, okay? And try and do it without looking up there, okay? Blessed are
the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
You got it. That's great. All right, now verse 4, that was last week's. This verse 4 is this verse, and it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Okay, now, nobody's looking there. Everybody looks right here at me, okay? All right, there we go. And ready, begin. Blessed are
those who mourn.
Oh, I love it. You all get an A+. Okay, so I don't know how you're doing at school, but here at school here, you are all getting A pluses, and I way to go. Give yourself a hand there. And Jesus went up on the mountainside. And when he went up on the mountainside, he opened his mouth and he began to teach them, saying, and he goes through all of the Beatitudes. And while he's got this congregation of many hundreds of people who are listening to him and are hanging on every word that he says, he realizes this about those on the hill. Not everybody is a believer in his congregation. Not everybody has received him. But he looks over and he sees his 12 disciples. And the 12 disciples, they are there and they are taking in every word. Now, along with the 12 disciples, there are others there that are believers, that are following Jesus. They're just not part of the inner core, the 12 disciples, but they're still disciples that are there. And so I want you to have that picture in your mind. And then Jesus begins in verse 13. We're going to look at verse 13, 14, 15, and 16. And verse 14 sounds a lot like verse 16. It sounds a lot alike, but here's what I love. Jesus looks at his congregation, and he says to them, and the words are up here, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. Isn't that great? He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, it's not going to be any good for anything. So Jesus uses two metaphors in this short passage. The metaphors are salt and light. And the salt, Jesus knew this about salt. In his day, salt was a very precious commodity. Salt was something that they really relied upon. Now, we rely upon it today. And if we didn't have salt today, we would be dead. I mean, you know, when your wife, when she cooks, sometimes you just put a little salt on for flavor, and sometimes you just baptize it. You know what? I just forgot. I'm not at a men's conference. I take that comment back. The salt was a preservative. And in Jesus' day, they all knew. They knew the value of the salt. And they knew that we need salt. Sometimes in Jesus' day, the people were actually paid their wages in salt. In fact, if you read back in history, you'll find that sometimes Roman soldiers were paid their wages in salt. And we get a euphemism that is still used today, and that is this. And it was taken from the Roman soldiers. If a Roman soldier was caught not doing his job and he wasn't performing up to speed, it could be said of a Roman soldier that he's not worth his weight in salt. And you today might see people and you might say that occasionally, he's not worth his weight in salt. And Jesus, understanding the power of salt and knowing that it was not only a preservative, but it was something that would add flavor, he wants us to know as his children, he wants us to know as fellow believers that you are the salt of the earth. And you should be worth your weight in salt in what you do for the kingdom. And everybody said,
amen.
That wasn't everybody. Everybody said,
amen.
Yeah, you ought to be worth your weight in salt. And if you are worth your weight in salt, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And it's a good thing for our lives to have that preservative nature that salt gives to us. Your Christ-like life will keep this world from spoiling. You would say, well, what, how did they use that salt? Why did they use that salt? When they would catch their fish, they didn't have ice cubes. It would not have been good for me to have been born in Bible days. Just for that sake alone, right there. I'd had to say, Jesus, where is my large glass of ice with my water? I need the large glass of ice. And they would probably all look at me and say, what is ice? But they didn't have ice to put down over the fresh catch. Do you ever go into Lee's Market? And when you go into Lee's Market towards the, over to the right, they got the fish. You ever see the, how many of you like fish? I'm going to find out real quick if I'm going to make this a little bit longer, a little bit shorter, talking about fish. We don't have a lot of fish. We're going to cut this real short. I just see a big hunk of salmon. I love fish. I love salmon. And a big hunk of red or orange salmon. That is just beautiful to go into the market. And when you're in the market, you see how that they take that beautiful hunk of meat, and thank you for moving your feet, and they take that salmon, and what do? They put it on ice. And there's tons of ice. I love the You know how ice, it comes in different shapes and stuff like that? That's what I love. And the texture, that's the word, thank you, Lord. I love the texture of the ice. And I love to see the fresh trout on the ice and the salmon and the tilapia on the ice. Now, is he ever going to get through talking about the fish? Okay, let's get on. They didn't have the ice back then. And the only thing that they had was salt. And so what they would do is they would take and they would rub it in. And when they would rub the salt on the fresh catch from the Sea of Galilee, they knew that they were going to take that to market into Jerusalem or to Capernaum. And they knew that with that hot desert sun, the fish was going to spoil before it got to market. And so they put salt on it. And when they put the salt on it, the salt preserved it. It preserved their livelihood. And they were able to go to market. And they were able to sell it. And they were able to sell good stuff at a good price and make a good living. And Jesus, seeing as he's telling this sermon on this hillside, he no doubt sees some fishermen there. And he probably goes over and he takes one of their little burlap sacks and he probably just holds it up and he sees a handful of salt and he just grabs it and he shows them the fish. He says, look at the salt. And he says, you are the salt of the earth. And because you are the salt of the earth, you have the ability to preserve my gospel amongst a rotting world. And when Jesus says that, it just brings about something within my heart that he says, Michael, you are the salt of the earth. He looks out and he says, Riley, you are the salt of the earth. He looks out and he says, Kelly. He looks over here and he says, Kelly, you are the salt of the earth. He looks out and he starts pointing out and he says, Bill, you in your patriotic tie today, you are the salt of the earth. And he looks at and he calls out us. Yes. And he says, that's what I want you to be. I want you to be salt in a rotting world. Wow. How many of us know that we live in a rotten world today? Yeah. Every one of us know that the world that we live in today, it is decaying. It is anti-God. It is anti-Christ. It is anti-church. It is anti-good. There are people that are against it. They don't like the church. They don't like Christ. They don't like the Bible. They don't like prayer. They don't like anything. You ask them what they're good for, they're good for nothing. And guess what? Jesus says, I've brought my word. I am the word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he is the one that I'm speaking of, Jesus saying of himself, I am the Word of God. And this Word of God is going to make sure that in a rotting, spoiling world, it's not going to decay because I am going to place Christians in the world. And Christians are going to be just like the salt on that fish over at the marketplace. And where there is no ice, it's okay because the salt is going to preserve that which is very valuable. And Jesus is calling out to us today, and he's saying to each one of us in this sermon that he's preaching, he says, you are the salt of the earth. I want us all to do this together, just real quick. Let's all just say it together. You are the salt of the earth.
You are the salt of the earth.
And then he says this, but, throws in the conjunction. He says, but, and it's like, oh, why do we have to have the little but right there at this part of the story? He says, if the salt loses its saltiness, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and to be trampled on. You know what I enjoy about the New Testament? I enjoy the New Testament because of the way that it speaks so vibrantly to us today. I love the Old Testament as well. I get so much from the Old Testament. I love both of the books. In the New Testament, we're given something of eternal value in there, going along the line of saltiness. Paul, I don't have these words written up here, but Paul writes to the church in Galatia, and he tells them, he says, there are some things that are going to mark you as believers. And they're called the nine fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. That's a good one right there, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When you are the salt of the earth, all nine of those characteristics are going to be in you. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are salty today? Go ahead, raise your hand. This would be good for you. How many of you? It's a good thing. Raise your hand if you're salty, okay? Because now if you're not raising your hand, then those are the ones we're going to be praying for at the end of the service, okay? So you might want to raise your hand right now and just say, I am salty, okay? All right. And because I might embarrass you and have you come up here and turn around, face the camera, and be like, bogey. When you're the salt of the earth, your life will be characterized by two things: the presence of good deeds and the absence of sin. Doesn't mean that you're not going to sin. As believers, I believe that it's possible for us not to sin. But I have news for you. Because we're still part of this fallen world, and this is not a credit card for you to go and say, oh, I can go sin. Pastor Michael said, I can go sin. No. But I love the verse that John gives to us. He says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation not only for our sins, but sins of the whole world. In other words, Jesus is saying, you know what? When you're salty, these are the things that are going to characterize you. You're going to have good deeds, and you're not going to be one who is a sinner. Now, just so that we don't get confused here, I am not advocating that good works will get you to heaven. I am not advocating that good works will get you salvation, okay? Good works, that characterizes somebody who is in the kingdom, okay? Already a part of the kingdom, a Christian. But you didn't get into the kingdom by doing a lot of good works. And there are religions today that embrace good works lead to eternal life. And I'm here to tell you kindly today, good works do not lead to eternal life. There's only one thing that leads to eternal life. For by grace, you and I have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It's not of your good works. It is the gift of God. Amen. Not a result of works, lest any man should boast. Boy, if salvation was by works, there would be a long line of people wanting to come up here today and just say, hey, I want to tell you about all the good works that I've done. And we'd be lined up, and, you know, we'd never get out of here because people would want to talk about all the good works they're doing, and their good works are leading to salvation. No. Salvation only comes through Jesus Christ and the work on the cross that he has done for us. Now, after we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're going to start doing a lot of good works. And isn't that fun? Isn't that great to know that we do a lot of good works? Because people see our saltiness. I want you to know something this morning. So important for you to know this. Everyone in this room, you're salty people in a good way. You're salty people. Why are you salty? You're salty because you have allowed God and the Holy Spirit to pour his salt shaker over you so that you are being preserved and so that you become flavorful to the world and that others will see your good works and they will praise God because of it. How many of you know that your life is being watched by other people? Let me just be very helpful, maybe to all of you. You're being watched every single day. You are being watched by other people that are looking out at you and they're saying, that person, there's just something different about them. You remember the lady in John's gospel that took the alabaster box of nard, of great oil, great expense, and beautiful smelling perfume? What did she do? Didn't she take that and anoint Jesus? And as she anointed Jesus' feet, you know, the disciples, they kind of got all uptight about that and everything. You can sit next to that sinner. And all of that is going on. And while all of that is going on, that lady, she leaves. And when that lady left, everywhere that Jesus went, Jesus smelled with the fragrance of that perfume on him as he went that way. And everybody that was in the room and saw it, and those that came in contact with Jesus, every time they saw the lady, she had it on her hands. They said to the lady, you smell like Jesus. And I would suggest to you that when you're with Jesus, when you're getting the salt poured on you, that you are a fragrance of Christ to a rotten, dying, sinful world. I have a friend of mine. I've got more than one. Brad is a very dear friend of Nan and I. Brad and his lovely wife, Wendy, when I moved to Greeley, Colorado, he and Wendy, we were neighbors. Brad worked for the Greeley Police Department as a detective the whole time that we were there. And living right our gate, our fence, when they built the fence, they left out about 10 slats so that we could just get right through. And we didn't have a gate, we just walked right through. And we had a really close relationship with him. And he's a golfer, and I'm a golfer, and several of his police buddies, they're golfers. And so we would go out golfing and stuff One of Brad's friends, his name is Ed. Ed was on the police force as well. He was in an on-duty accident, and the accident just rankled his back, and he had to retire early from the police force there in Greeley. And Ed became the mayor of Greeley. And it was just fun to be around these men and know their love for the Lord and to just hang out with them. I just found out about 3 weeks ago that Ed has come down with pancreatic cancer and grieves Nan and I our hearts to hear that. And so Brad texted me and said, "Hey, Michael, just want you to know that Ed has pancreatic cancer." And I said to him, I said, "Hey, I don't have his contact information. If you just give me his contact information, I'd like to just write him a little card of encouragement type thing." And so I did. And so I sent Ed a card, put some scripture in there, and I just said, "You know, I want you to know we're praying for you." And at the risk of trying to come across like I'm patting myself on the back at this time, which I really sincerely am not, I got a card from Ed this week. And the little card that he sent, he just said, "Pastor Michael, thank you very much for reaching out to me and for praying for me." And this one line: "Brad always tells me there isn't anyone closer to God than you." When I read that in my office the other day, I sat there and I just cried. I cried on several accounts because, it really lifted me up. It really picked me up in a way of like, wow, I didn't know that Brad thought that highly of me. I knew he thought highly of me, not that highly. And as I'm putting the message together, I feel the Holy Spirit just saying, "Michael, just continue to be salt to a rotten, dying world. Be salt to Christians. Be salt to those who have gotten a negative medical report. Be salt to those who contend against you. Be salt to those that just need a little encouragement. Be salt to that employee, that fellow person that you struggle with, the one that you avoid. Remember, you are the salt of the earth. Don't lose your saltiness." The other day, one of our worship team members is, I think, if I heard your story right, she's at a restaurant, and a lady comes up to her and taps her on the shoulder and says, "Hey, do you attend New Life Fellowship?" And she said, "Yeah." And she said, "Well, aren't you one of the singers on the platform on Sunday?" "Yeah." And she said, "Well, my husband and I, we don't attend church yet because of COVID. But," she said, "we watch New Life Fellowship." And she said, "I recognize you." Christina, keep being salt. Keep being the salt. We have communion every month. And to do communion for our congregation, we have about four trays of communion. In each tray, there's 40 cups. And now, because of COVID, we take the 40 cups, you put 40 cups in, and then you put a piece of bread in each cup. And then you put another cup and you double cup it, and then you squirt in the juice in each one of those. And you do that for four different trays. Last Sunday we had communion, and way before any of you got here, I was standing at the back door right here, and it was opened up, to the kitchen area. I could see in there. And there's only one person at that particular time that was here, and that was Deborah Smith. And Deborah was back there, and she had filled up all of the cups, got it all ready. She had her gloves on. And then from back there at this back door, as I'm looking about 40 yards in front of me, this is what I see. And so if it would be what you saw, it would be Deborah Smith takes the time to not only fill it up, but she takes her job so serious that she prays over the communion. And as she's praying, it's not like she's talking to God. She's talking to God. God was there last Sunday. He's here right now. Amen. And she's just talking to God and just saying, I don't know exactly what she's saying. And in that moment, I watched her, and then I thought, maybe I shouldn't watch anymore. And that's just her private time. Don't lose your saltiness. A lady in our church was telling me the other night that at her work, she has the opportunity of telling people about Jesus Christ, the living Son of God. And she is unashamed of telling the whole story about Jesus Christ. And she keeps Bibles in her car. And she will give Bibles to people and said, let me give you a Bible. But she's going to tell them the story. She's going to tell them how they come to salvation in Jesus Christ. Lisa Royer, don't lose the saltiness. Keep it up. Keep on doing that. Jim, when you're riding the FedEx truck and you drop things off, you might not have the time, because I know how you guys are. You speed and you cut people off. And you can't get from one door to another door. And so he can only give the short gospel. Lisa can give a longer gospel. But in the short gospel that you give on FedEx and with the fellowship, with the young lifers, you're giving. It's because you've got salt, and you keep the salt, and you let the salt keep you from rotting. But man, you are giving out the flavor of Jesus Christ. And so, people, you need to know that Jesus Christ keeps us salty. So Scott and Marla, when you guys are doing everything that you're doing, don't lose your saltiness. You just keep on being salty. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Micah on the football team, even though they're not playing football, you have the opportunity of being salt to the defense. You have and insult the offensive line. You have the ability as the linebacker to go there and just smother them in the name of Jesus, and to allow that saltiness to be within you. And every one of us has that ability and that opportunity of sharing the light. Verse 14. I've got three more verses, and I am only one-fifth done. He says here, you are the light of the world. City cannot be hidden. Not only are we the salt of the earth, but he says you're the light of the world. And what is interesting when he says that you are the light of the world is this. In John's gospel, John gives the seven great I am. I am this door. I am the great shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and life. I am the resurrection. I am all of these things. And then he says in there, I am the light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Do you know that this is the only place in Scripture where that Jesus says we're something that he is? He says that we are the light of the world. And Danny Royer, thank you for that point. That is so important, and I love that. What an honor it is, for he not only calls us the salt of the earth, but now he says, you are the light of the world. Let it shine lightly. Verse 15, it says this, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. You, it says, you are the light of the world. Boy, I'm glad he's the light of the world because I can't even see right now. When I was in the fifth grade, I won a little pin, a little lapel pin. And the little lapel pin, it was given to everybody at Covina Assembly of God for having perfect Sunday school attendance. And I didn't even have a choice whether I wanted it or not because my mom and dad drug me to Sunday school. I didn't have a choice whether I wanted to go or not, but we always went. I loved it. I wanted to change it. I wanted to do it any other way. So I annually got my little lapel pin for having 100% attendance in Sunday school. And I put that little lapel pin on my jacket. When I was in the fifth grade, we had a little musical, our fifth grade class. And I'll never forget, I put my little jacket on, and as I got in the car, I sat down and I looked and I saw that little lapel pin. And all of a sudden, I thought, you know what, I'm okay wearing this jacket at church for people to know. But I don't want my buddies to know. And that little lapel pin became a stumbling block to me in that moment. And I discreetly took the little lapel pin off and I put it in my pocket and I went through the whole evening. After the little concert was over, I'll never forget Mom coming up to me and asking me something. She says, Michael, I noticed tonight on your jacket, your little lapel pin, did you lose it? And to cover it up and make matters worse, I lied. And I said to her, I said, oh, Mom, I said, here it is right here. I said, I looked down and I saw it and I thought it was going to fall off. And I didn't want it to fall off, so I put it in my coat pocket. And Paul says in the 16th verse of Romans chapter 1, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God unto salvation. And because Jesus Christ did that, I got over my embarrassment of the lapel pin. Now today I wear a green sticker. I am not ashamed to tell people about Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to tell people, oh yes, I'm one that follows Jesus. The word says here in verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. All of our lights, just hold them up here. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And it's something that he says, we don't hide it under a basket or a bushel. We don't hide our light. We keep our Sunday school pin on. We keep our testimony alive and vibrant. We keep telling other people about the good news that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's coming back again. He forgives us of our sin. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. Let other people see your good deeds. And this is done so that they may see your good deeds and glorify the Father. So it's not about me. It's about people seeing good in me so that they can glorify the Father. It's not the works that they see in you, but it's the works they see in you so that they can glorify the Father. Everything is about bringing glory to Jesus. My little card, I look at and I say, thank you, Jesus. You receive glory. You receive glory for any influence I've had in Brad or Ed over these years. You receive the glory for that, Lord. You receive all glory. Would you stand with me? What I'd like to offer to each one of you at this time, as our house lights start to come back up, is this. I'd like you to come to my right or to my left or to the center, and got a little something, a little take home for each of you. 25 of you go home with little flashlights. The rest of you, come on up here. A little packet of salt. A little packet of salt for each one of you. And I'd like you to come quickly right now, and just this section over here, this section here, this section here, there's everybody grab your salt. Go ahead.